All right. Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Inside Writing. This show is presented by Gotham Writers, offering writing classes of all types and sizes. You can visit us at gothamwriters.com. One quick announcement, just another quick reminder that if you've missed any episodes of Inside Writing, going back to season one, you can find all of the recorded versions on YouTube or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. The same will go for this show. It'll be available either later today or tomorrow morning on YouTube and, again, wherever you listen to your podcasts. Moving into the show for today, at any point, again, you can submit to the Q&A. I see people are already making use of the Q&A, so good for you. There's a button down there on the Zoom dashboard that says Q&A. You just click that, pose your question, and then we will get to them later on in the show. But the sooner you get those questions in, the better. So today we are going to be talking about personal essay. So as always, I want to start with a quote. This one comes to us from Barry Lopez, who said, "It is, I think, the rarest of leisure to refine one's time of deep thought or light regard into the shape of a personal essay, a story comprised of found fact, of analyzed emotion, of fictive memory." And now let's meet our panelists for the day. Our first panelist, author of the book I'm Trying to Tell You I'm Sorry, as well as pieces appearing in The Best of Brevity, Entropy Magazine, Hippocampus, and many more, Nina Boutsakaris. Hello, Nina.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here. Our second panelist, the editor of Hobart and Hobart After Dark, as well as the author of the book Stephen King's The Body, and pieces appearing in X-Ray Magazine, Pigeonholes, and more, Aaron Birch. Hi, Aaron.
Hello, thanks for having me too.
Absolutely, thank you both for being here. So we're gonna start the way we always do. Nina, I'm gonna ask this of you first. If you had to give the simplest definition of what a personal essay is, what would you say?
Oh, it's hard. It's hard to give a simple definition, but I mean, ultimately at its core, personal essay is a short work of truth artfully told. So a short work of creative nonfiction wherein the writer uses a sliver of their life, and that sliver could take up a lot of the essay, it could take up a small amount of the essay, to bump up against a question that illuminates some other subject or phenomenon outside of their life, you know, while also, like I said, bumping up against their own life in some way. So I think essentially it's a question, really. And there's like attempting, there's thinking happening on the page, even if it's not directly stated. So might be more memoirish or less, but there definitely is some thinking happening. And the way that the writer gets at that question and tries to answer that question is what drives the narrative or the arc of the piece rather than like a plot. That's my definition.
Yeah, you hit on a lot of stuff that we're going to talk about later as well. But I want to first off see, Aaron, would you have anything to add to that? What's your definition?
I don't think so. I think that's great. I think, yeah, I feel like she hit everything. I was going to be super simplistic. I was just sort of like, well, a personal essay is an essay, so it should be nonfiction, so it should have actually happened. And it's personal, so it should center you, which is maybe basic, but also like, I find when I teach, often sort of like students will sometimes end up writing about somebody else in a way that is possible in kinds of essays, but in personal essays, like I want to be like, well, how did that thing that they did make you feel, or how did it affect you? Or yeah, other than that, I think Nina's definition is great.
Gotcha. So I want to get this question out of the way because I know it's going to come up anyways. Nina, there's this ongoing debate of what separates personal essay from memoir. One of the common threads I found is that essay has a clear topic that pairs with the experience, whereas maybe memoir puts the experience first. But is that how you find the difference between personal essay and memoir?
So I just want to say first off that I think creative nonfiction is either compelling, honest, and curious, or it's not. And I think like, so I'm not really as interested in like, is it a personal essay or is it a memoir as much as I am in like the quality of the thinking and then the way that the writer showcases that thinking through the moves that they do or the craft choices that they make on the page. So I think that's sort of what separates things for me. It's like, is it good or bad? Or is it interesting or not, you know, compelling or not. But I think I find personally, like, my own work stems from, you know, an experience or imagery or an idea that isn't necessarily like the subject that I'm writing about or the topic I'm writing about yet, or I'm not really sure. And then later will like find its footing in terms of topic. But that's just me. And I think that's the beauty of like personal essay, is that everybody really can have their own style. As long as, I think what Aaron said, you know, you're sort of centering yourself and then asking a question that gets at some greater emotional truth, I guess.
Mm-hmm. And Aaron, one of my favorite lines on Hobart's submission guidelines on the nonfiction is, we tend to like our nonfiction to be more about something and less short memoir-y. What is it that made you, that draws you more towards nonfiction that's about something as opposed to memoir? Because I think that will also highlight the difference between the two.
Yeah, I feel like Lena, I was a little, I don't think I knew that there was definitionally a difference. I feel like I end up crowdsourcing a lot of my teaching from Twitter, where I'm like, and going into this semester, I was curious what units teachers who break down teaching CNF class, like an intro CNF class, what are the units you break it down to? And somebody, I don't remember their series, but one was like memoir and then personal essay and then something else. And I was like, what are those two different things? I think I had thought of it just as like a memoir is like a book and a personal essay is like a, you know, it's almost like the short story novel. Although I guess the more I teach, the more I have to think about it. And the more I was thinking about it for this, I feel like an essay comes back to kind of what Nina was saying about that, that there's some kind of question, some kind of thinking, some kind of attempting, some kind of like figuring something out that I'm sure people could point to exceptions and argue with this, but it, in my mind, memoir is much more sort of just like, here's the thing that happened. And it's like, it's the emphasis is maybe on representation or on almost like reenactment on page. And then in my mind, the essay is a little bit more sort of like, what does that make me think of, or what did that mean, or why was it important? Being a little bit more questioning about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think, like, for instance, like my writing, just to take it back to myself, like, I think people might read that and think of it as memoir. But I certainly consider it essay. And I think maybe it's most helpful when you're starting out to think about these differences, or to think, you know, what does it mean to essay versus just to like write about something that happened to me? Because ultimately later on, you know, once you're like a little more skilled and you've got some of your own style going on, then I think you can really move between those two in a more interesting way. And you understand that, like, you know, this crazy thing happened to me, like, I'm going to write it down. That's not anything. So, like, then I think thinking about the differences between memoir and essay is more useful, like, maybe at that point than it is later, once you're, like I said, you know, sort of getting a groove with your own style about how you think about memories or what happens to you and to other people, ideas, I don't know. Mm-hmm.
So, Nina, to follow up with that, how do you go about taking an experience and honing it into a focal point, like an actual point? How do you take your experience and make it something that will appeal to people that didn't have that experience?
Well, I don't know if I can ever appeal to people that didn't have that experience. I mean, I don't think that I, like, for me, this idea of like universality is a little bit off-putting. And I think especially for like my students, it can be confusing because people sort of think that means like you're appeasing people or you're appealing to people. When I really think it's more about just like, rather than using the term like universality, like thinking about it in terms of like getting at some emotional truth, because those are the things that we really share rather than like, I mean, I think more and more, especially in our time, this term universal even sort of feels like a little tone deaf. I think everyone is like really invested in like thinking about difference and like what that means, or I hope that they are. And so anyway, just that was like an aside, but I think my goal is just to try to understand something as honestly as possible. And I hope that in that specificity and that honesty, like, that is what somebody will, like, feel. And if I'm feeling it and I'm feeling, like, as honest, you know, I'm being as honest as possible, I'm getting as deep as I possibly can about something, I think that is the thing that readers, you know, link to, and sort of that's the thing that, like, what is it, reaches across the void, rather than, like, you know, do you get why this experience is, like, interesting, or, you know what I mean, like, rather than trying to appeal, it's really a matter of, like, for me, I think, honesty, and like, vulnerability, and just in an authentic way, in, like, a very authentic way.
Aaron, what about you from the writing side? How does it begin for you? Is this an experience happens to you that you just want to write about and then you find a focus along the way, or do you have a focus in mind when you go into writing?
I think it's rarely the focus. It's usually I have this thing that I want to write about. But then, you know, coming back to, and maybe becoming repetitive, what becomes an essay is finding what that thing then, like, gets me to writing about. Like, you know, I have this experience that I kind of want to write about. But it's going to be kind of inert on the page if I don't make some kind of connection to something. I don't know. Sometimes that starts with, like, oh, I know I have this moment in my life that I want to write about. Sometimes it's like, oh, I have this thing that I want to write about. We'll probably talk about this a little bit later, but kind of one of my hallmarks is this kind of, like, pop culture personal essay, both kind of as writer and editor. It's sort of like, I'm writing about this album to really tell you about what a dork I was when I was 15, or, like, I'm writing about this movie to really talk about male friendship, or, like, and using it as this kind of doorway into writing about something, hopefully, building on Nina's comments, is that emotional truth and vulnerability that, like, you know, often when I'm doing that, if you also care about Stand By Me, then I've hooked you and you probably hopefully want to read it. Ideally, hopefully, if I've done my job, if you don't care about Stand By Me, you'll still understand how and why I love it so much. And you'll probably fill in that blank of, like, oh, I've never seen it, or I saw it and I thought it was boring, or whatever. But for me, my Stand By Me is this movie. And then you kind of connect to that emotional truth of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Aaron, to follow up on that, you mentioned a word that I wanted to get into anyway, which is vulnerability. Is it hard to be vulnerable on the page? Does that just come with time? Or how do you open up as a writer to be honest with the reader?
I think it comes with time. I think my ex-wife would say that I'm not vulnerable enough on the page. It's really interesting. I'm teaching this Art of the Essay class right now. And I noted that this semester, more than ever before, they almost every day they have a question about, like, how do I be so vulnerable on the page, or how do I do this? And I'm not sure if they're struggling with it more than past students have, or if they want to more. And so, you know, like, I'm not sure where the question is coming from, but I feel like it's almost never come up in the past. Mm-hmm. And this semester it seems like the real one of the cores of the class is sort of how do I do this? And it's been interesting discussing it with them, how often they are so scared or embarrassed or shy or whatever. And then they do, and they break that seal a little bit, and we workshop it with, and that's the moment that everybody in the class is like, this essay was so good, especially on page 2 where you said this. And you can just see the author be like, oh, that was the thing that I was, like, terrified of you all reading. And, like, almost always that's the moment where everybody else is sort of like, that's the heart of it. That's the stuff that got me leaning into the page. That's the stuff that I wanted to try to echo in my own writing.
Yeah, I think like readers really quickly pick up on inauthentic writing, like inauthentic personal essay, and it's a quick demerit. Like you quickly lose value, or you know, you quickly lose merit if you're not that way. So it's something definitely that you have to be able to, you know, and I think that's so great. Like once they see the reaction, they're like, oh, okay. And I also feel like just like as a, for all you people out there writing personal essays, I feel like coming back to like concrete details and small things sometimes really helps to be vulnerable. There's a really wonderful essay by, it's called Against Courage in Creative Nonfiction. Brenda Miller. Thank you. Against Courage in Creative Nonfiction. And it's all about like, when you feel like you have to be brave to write something, these wonderful techniques to actually like circumvent that and using like concrete things or metaphors, to the sort of like hide your vulnerability under, which then creates actually like a lot more of a, you know, like an impactful experience for the reader. Anyway, I really recommend that essay. It's really useful, I found.
And I, for those listeners, I will include a link to that in the show notes afterwards. So don't worry about finding that now. But Aaron, can any experience be a personal essay? I know a lot of people struggle with this. Well, I haven't done anything, so what could I write about? It doesn't have to be monumental, does it?
It doesn't. And sort of, so I came into today with like, okay, there's two or three things that are smart-ish and I want to try to say those. I don't know where they'll fit in an answer. And so this is one of those opportunities. So I don't know, like a year or so ago, this writer Gabe Habish recommended this essay by this writer Tim Creeder called Reprieve. And it opens talking about how at one point traveling around Europe, he got stabbed in the throat and he almost died. And then the whole rest of the essay is just about how for that next year, he never felt not happy or something like that. It was sort of like, and then he just spends, because it's sort of like having this near-death experience like gave him this like, enjoyment for life. And then ultimately enough time passes though, and then he goes back to being like his normal depressed self, right? He's like that sort of like new lease on life is there's an expiration date on it, or there's a half-life to it because we're human. And and so I teach that and in part I love that it starts with this like I got stabbed in the throat, but like 2% of the essay is about that. And it's all just about like hanging out with his friends, and he started laughing a little different because it was like this louder, more joyful laugh. And he did this a little different and then did that. And in this interview about it, he said, what I always tell my students is that often the better the story, that is the better the story is to tell friends in bars, the harder it is to turn into an essay. Because really the only point of those stories is, you know, I had an adventure and my life is cool and fascinating. And that doesn't really sort of like, and so I like teaching that essay early in the semester to like highlight that you can write about anything. And then also my one sort of breaking the norms of being a teacher rule and like teaching something of my own is that the first day or the first week I give them this short single sentence essay that I wrote about having a work day in class, looking out and watching my students write and looking out the window and seeing two men like chainsaw down a tree out in the university diag. And then that's the essay. It's just like, I'm staring out a window watching these two men work. But then it becomes, as we kept talking about it, like, it became a little bit of a reflection on what it means to watch people work. And I'm like looking out and watching my students work, which feels much more satisfying than even the best lecture I can give is just watching them all like writing and just seeing work happen. And it feels not unlike looking out the window and watching these two men work and chainsaw down a tree. And there's no like event there. I was just like bored standing in front of a class, looking out a window. And there's a, you know, I mean, I guess there's a little bit of an event in that somebody happened to be taking down a tree that day. But it's a pretty small event. It's not like, oh, here's this big crazy thing that happened to me. You all have to go out and find those big life-changing monumental moments where, like, you know, you came to that fork in the road and went one way or another, and you have to find those, and those are the only things worthy. Just like, you know, write about some small memory you have, write about kind of, and yeah, I don't know.
No, I like that. And Nina, to segue right off of where he ended, what is it that draws you to certain events in your life to write about as opposed to other events?
I mean, I think like most people that consider themselves writers, I sort of have like themes that just have been following me for a while. And I tend to sort of see things through that lens, and therefore like when that lens feels like it's glowing, those are the things that follow me. I mean, I think generally it's like intimacy, just loneliness, power, sex, just dynamics between people, platonic or not. And like the power there, the power shifts there. And that's happening all the time. I mean, all the things that writers like to write about are all happening all the time or all existing all the time. And I think it's really, for me, a matter of just these themes that I keep coming back to. And then I'll sort of wait, and I'll wait and see, like, what is this? Why is this thing, you know, even though I probably know that there's something related to some theme that I'm already interested in, I'll wait. And then one day, and I'm sure, Aaron, you find this, you know, you read something or you see something and you're just like, oh, that's what that means. Or, you know, you open up a textbook, or you see a painting, and you're like making these connections, and you're starting to be able to think about like, what is the question that I really have, and how is this thing illuminating this thing? And for me, that's how like an essay gets going. It's really a matter of like time and waiting, I guess. Yeah.
So, I mean, it's probably different for each time, but when you're in a moment, do you think like, oh, this is something I'm going to write about later? Or is it something that you come back to later and think, oh, that thing I did 10 years ago, I get it now, I'm going to write about it?
I mean, I think because I've like sort of set myself up with a habit of wanting to write about my life for the past 15 years or so or more. That's generally just how I think about everything, you know, like, this could be something, you know, this is an essay, like there's something here, you know, probably to the chagrin of like my family and friends, partners. But yeah, I think it's a habit that I've gotten myself into. I try to keep a journal, you know, I try to take notes. It's not very organized or like disciplined, but I just do it when things come and when I want to remember things. Having said that, not everything that I experience is something that I'm like, I'm going to write about it. But of course, the thing that I'm like, I'm going to write about that later on, I'll then remember something else that I never thought I would write about. And that is always like the exciting part is starting to like build these like webs through your life as you collect things along the way, I guess, and then create meaning with them, create meaning with facts. Yeah.
So Aaron, when you were standing there looking out the window at these people chopping down a tree, was that something that came to you in the moment? Like you thought right then, wow, I need to write about this?
So I was just like, okay, I'm gonna practice what I preach here. I'm telling my students that they need to write for the next 30 minutes. It's like, for the most part, I want to see pen on paper. And so then I'm going to try and do that myself. And and I think I just started describing staring out the window and watching this happen. And I don't think when I started, I thought it would turn into anything at all. And I think as much as I've been writing, I have to still constantly be reminding myself that the, like, how much the thinking can happen in the writing itself and on the page. I mean, I'm I can be really bad about that and put off and avoid writing. And it's one of the reasons why I like to read that with my students is more than teaching it as a published written piece. I like talking about the process of it. And I can say, like, I thought this was going to be dumb, but all my students were writing. So I wanted to look like I was writing too. So I just started describing it. And then, 400 words in, I started thinking about what it meant to watch these two men with a saw and how that was the sort of symbol of masculinity to me and what it meant to be working with your hands and then what that meant to be working. I think, tagging on to what Nina was saying at the end too, about sort of constantly building this weave of life is I think the more you do it, the better and the easier, connecting meaning to things gets. I think as a beginning writer, writing about that chainsawing never would have gone anywhere. I think now relatively quickly, I'm like, okay, well, why am I so fascinated? Why is that hypnotic? Why am I staring at this? What is it that has my attention? And then I think just kind of with age and practice, I've gotten better at that and maybe a little smarter either about the world or about myself. And I start knowing I'm kind of fascinated in watching people work and what that means and these ideas. I know I like to write about growing up a lot. So a lot of my personal essays are looking backward and writing about kind of junior high and high school. But sometimes there's something where in the moment, yeah, I'm I want to write about this. And, I was on a bike ride a month ago or something, and me and my buddy looked over and there was a deer stuck in the fence, and I had this moment where I was like, I want to try and help that deer. So we got off and I helped it get out of the fence, and then as we were riding away, my buddy was like, that's an essay, isn't it? And I was like, yeah, but I've already got 300 words of it in my head. Part of it is because this crazy thing of trying to free this deer, but then also pretty quickly I knew this piece is a little bit about that. Not just I want to free the deer, but I want to be thought of as the kind of person who would stop and free the deer. Mm-hmm. And that kind of self-reflection sometimes is happening much quicker than it would have been, 5 or 10, 15 years ago.
Yeah, that's so, I love that. That's so true. You're constantly having to think, I think a lot of us call it the thing and then the other thing. You're constantly having to be oh, I'm interested in this, but why? What's the other thing, right? And it does take a lot of self-reflection. And I heard this really funny quote. Jerry Seinfeld was being interviewed last week, and he said, I think to be a comedian, you really have to be an irritated person, someone who's easily irritated to be funny. I think that's really true. And I think to be good at personal essay writing, you do have to be someone that's interested in being very self-reflective and not just how did I feel about that? But, harsh, honest with yourself. And to me, it's exciting. I love that. I love to shred myself up and think about all my issues and why did I act like that? And who was that person? And what does it mean? So I do think that's a key element for sure that Aaron brought up. I want to be seen as the person who freed the deer. Yeah.
I'm already looking ahead and telling this story and looking forward to being able to tell this story about how I did it. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So I want to switch gears a little bit and talk about the nitty gritty, the different pieces of a personal essay. So I want to start by going back to that quote from the top of the show from Barry Lopez. Particularly, he mentions the fictive memory. And Nina, I'm curious, how much do you embellish in a personal essay? How much, because obviously if you're revisiting an experience that you don't remember everything that happened, you have to fill in some of the blanks. So how do you approach doing that when you don't remember exactly how it happened?
So I think I love that quote, by the way, that Barry Lopez quote. I think making stuff up is not an essay. I think making stuff up is kind of it defeats the purpose. For me, an essay is like making meaning out of what is, like what exists, and rather than like cheating to like futz it so that it'll like work with your like cool idea or whatever. That's fiction, and that's hard. Fiction is hard unto itself. I think that's one of the reasons why I tend to have sway toward nonfiction, is because like set things happened and my job is to just like put it, make some meaning out of it rather than like what could happen, which is like a limitless thing. So I don't think making stuff up is essay. However, I think that there's many different ways to write essay and personal essay. And I think like so many things factor into the way that the reader digests or accepts what you are telling them. And I think like, for instance, I don't really, maybe I'm just describing this in a metaphorical way because I can't figure out how else to, but like if your essay is more of a photograph, then like it should be a photograph. It should be, you know, accurate. If it's more of a watercolor and you're signaling to the reader that it's watercolory, then I think it's okay for it to be watercolory. I mean, our memories are fictive, like Barry Lopez says, because everything is affecting how we remember, from when we're remembering it to, you know, where we are emotionally or how old we are, you know, what we're connecting it to, how we feel about the person who it happened with, whatever given time, all those things. So yeah, I mean, I'm not someone that's like, if the car was blue, it has to be blue. But maybe the fact that the car was blue matters in some way. And if you can figure out how it matters, then like that's the really interesting skill of an essayist, I think, rather than just being like, oh, let's pretend it was red, because like it's easier. I don't know.
Erin, what about you, especially with looking back? You say you do a lot of writing about high school and growing up. How do you approach something that happened in the past?
I'm trying to remember it best I can. And I feel like one of the things about writing about growing up and wrestling with that is one of my obsessions or topics that I keep coming back to is memory itself. And so I'm sort of often, if I can't remember something, I'm not ever making it up, or I'm not ever changing details. But sometimes I'm asking friends or digging through yearbooks and doing like research. And sometimes it's like, well, if I don't remember, then maybe that's not important for the essay.
Right.
It's surprising how often just starting to write will bring up memories that you didn't think you remembered, right? Like, I don't remember any of that. And then you start to write, and then a page or two later, you're like, oh shit. And then Karen did this
classmate's name, you know, that from fourth grade.
Right. And then sometimes I'll include like, I don't remember this, or I don't. And I think it can be sneaky. I try to, and although I'm sure sometimes I do cheat and or use it as a cheat and just like, I don't remember. I try to, if I do that, then I'm talking about how the fact that I don't remember it is itself interesting. I'm not just like, oh, I don't remember that. I'm like, oh, I'm surprised, you know, maybe I'll turn it into, I'm surprised that I remember this small thing, but not that. And then I'll reflect on why I might not remember that or something along those lines. And then I come at this as from a fiction writer. I didn't really write any nonfiction until, I don't know, 3, 4, or 5 years ago. And so sometimes that decision is less, do I make something up for this personal essay? Or at this point, is this turning into a short story, or is this an essay? I had this short thing published over the summer that was just like a list of people I went to high school with, right? That was just like, there was the guy who held a knife over a flame and then cut his girlfriend's name into his bicep, the girl who got her tongue pierced, the guy who did this, the girl who did that. And it's just all like straight essay. But then I didn't really know how to turn it into an essay with reflection. I just thought it was an interesting thing. And then I had this idea for how to get out of it. But it was not something that I had actually done. But I was like, well, I don't know. I like it though. So then I'll just throw it in there. And now I wrote a short story instead of a short essay, it turns out. Like, and I'm kind of, we'll play with that.
So I want to switch gears and talk a bit now about what it takes to publish a personal essay. Nina, I always ask my panelists this and I always get different answers. So I keep asking it. So Nina, when do you know when a piece is done and ready to be submitted?
I think the only way I can answer this is to just say that it's definitely not the first time that you think it's ready. And I've learned from that, although I don't know, I'm still learning from it. I have a tendency to want instant gratification and I'll send something out too soon and, you know, it will get rejected or it will get published. And then I really regret it because I'm looking at it years later. I'm like, oh God, that's embarrassing. So yeah, I think it's definitely not when you first think it's ready.
Aaron, what about you? And also adding the editor standpoint, do you often come across essays that might have been good if they just taken more time or might have been publishable, I should say?
Yes. And I feel like there's just such a range, right? There's a certain kind of essay that I feel like I'm especially good at editing too. And I feel like if I see that, then I'll often kind of push back and work with the author and be like, you know, I think what it needs to do is this. And if I feel like it's really good and I feel like I think that I know how to make it great, then I'll sort of do that. But there's probably equally quote unquote good essays that I'm not sure how to make them great and I'm just like, well, this is, you know, it gets a nice rejection. It just needs another draft or two or three. Yeah.
So following up on that, when you go to open a submission, what are the first things you're looking for in a personal? Is it character? Is it set? What is it that hooks you?
So this is such like an unhelpful, mysterious answer, but it's really just confidence. Like, I feel like more often than not, I know if I want to take something within the first paragraph or two, and then a piece can lose or win me over after that. And sometimes I'm hesitant to say that because I feel like it's easy to take the wrong lesson away from that and be like, oh, that means the first paragraph or two needs this huge hook. And really what I'm looking for is I think a good essay, and maybe this comes back to a little bit your question to Nina about like, how do you know when it's done, is like a good essay in that first paragraph or two knows what the essay is about. And it's really just sort of like, you know, and whether what's grabbing my attention is the idea itself or the character or just the language or the form, you know, maybe it's sort of interestingly hermit crabby or something, like something there is like, oh, this essay knows what it's trying to do. It's not just sort of like writing about a thing. I feel like often that, I've thought about this a bunch and have tried to sort of push it toward a more helpful answer than that. But I think often that first page is just sort of like, well, this essay knows what it wants to do. It might not even explicitly tell me what it's trying to do until page 3 or 6 or whatever, but like I can tell in this beginning that it knows.
Mm-hmm. I like that answer. It's a lot to think about. And Nina, do you have either anything to add to that? Or I also wanted to ask you your process of when you're done with the piece. Are you your own judge of your work? Like, do you look at it and say, this is done? Or do you have a circle of readers that you send it through? How do you go about determining when it's?
Well, I mean, definitely sort of related to what Aaron just said. No, first of all, yes and no. So this is the thing. I once heard the writer Sheila Hetty say this really great thing, which was that the best note she ever got, she'd given her friend her manuscript that she was working on to read and for notes, and they just wrote back with a post-it that said, make it better. And I feel like that is really fucking true. Like, you know, or at least I'm at a point, and I think people that have been writing for a little while, not even that long, maybe, you get to a point where you know, like, what you have to do is make it better. And you maybe you don't know exactly how, but what it means is that you have to work harder and longer. And you just don't want to. You don't want to. Like, you want to just be like, is it good? You guys like it? Yeah. But, like, ultimately, you know, you got to make it better. And I think I'm always, like, I have maybe two or three people that I really trust to tell me the truth, but to also tell me how smart I am, you know, and to remind me, you are smart and you're getting somewhere and like maybe it's this and that, but you're not there yet. And like, you're going to get there, but you're not there yet. And I can't do that on my own. I really need somebody, particularly I have this one friend in mind who does this for me, but it's just, it's laziness on my part. It's just not wanting to do the work. And I think that's okay. I think if you're feeling, you know, we all feel lazy sometimes. And I think as long as you can like cop to that and understand, yes, what I have to do is make it better. And I know that means I have to work. Then you're okay. You're going to be okay. You just got to keep hammering at it.
So I always want to dedicate one question to this and not spend much more than that. But I want to talk about rejection for just a second. Aaron, when you reject a piece, what would you say are some of the main reasons why you're saying no?
Just doesn't work. It just is such a lame, unhelpful answer. But I don't think there aren't main reasons. I guess the main reasons are the piece hasn't figured out what it wants to do yet, and to some degree it needs to be made better in the like simplistic Sheila Hedy language that Nina had repeated. I don't think I'm often sort of like, oh, what's often missing is this or that. I feel like it's such a, and I say this, we'll put it, I know as a beginning writer myself, like you feel like there's these answers to these questions that you want to like figure out, right? Like if I can figure out, oh, the beginning needs to do this. Oh, too many stories do that. Then I can sort of like solve this Rubik's cube. I've been doing this new HAD site for a couple months and it's so fun. And I feel like the range of what I've accepted is just all over the place. Mm. And so to say that like what is rejected is because of common sort of problems is, I don't think there are any. I think sort of like that piece, knowing what it wants to do and doing it is just like the annoying answer is that you got to keep practicing it, right? Like, it's like, I really want to run 10 miles, but like, I can't ever make it over 2. Like, it turns out it's going to take me a shit long time of like adding a quarter mile every week. And like, I don't want to do that because it sucks. But if I do next year, I can probably run 10. Like, but like, that means running 3 times a week, every, you know, like increasing my mileage, doing like, just kind of putting in that work. I don't know.
And also, I think like, just because you've put in the work still, I mean, many writers that have been working for, you know, decades and decades, still there'll be something that trips them up, an essay that they can't quite wrap their hands around or their mind around. And it could take years and years to write. And I think it's definitely, for me, a lesson of like slowing down, stop, you know, resisting the need for like instant gratification and really, I think I've never gotten a rejection where I was like surprised by what, like I was never like, oh my God, like they didn't want this. Like I was always like, yeah, like I could have done better. I could have done better. That's definitely something that I feel like I've just learned over time. And I don't always want to accept it. I don't want to have to always work super hard. And I want to be like, this is good enough, you know, but sometimes good enough, most of the times good enough, it doesn't cut it.
Yeah.
So I have so many more questions, but I got to get into some Q&A now because there's some great questions in here. Perhaps my favorite question ever is the one we're going to start with. I don't know if it has anything to do with personal essay, but I want to ask it anyway. Aaron, if you didn't write personal essays, would you have saved the deer?
I don't know, but I think so. Because I think more than wanting, because I think even if I didn't write personal essays, I like storytelling. And the truth of the matter is I still want to be able to tell that story that I saved the deer. So the like trigger warning version of the story is I like saved the deer, but then like it had been stuck in the fence for too long and couldn't stand on its own. And so we called the highway patrol and a sheriff came out and shot it. And so then we got home and I texted my friends like this long message about how like, you know, how hard that was and how sad and like that I think ultimately it was for the best because it sucked, but it put the deer out of its misery, which it would have probably been in greater misery if I hadn't saved it. So even though I didn't really save it, and this long text. And then as I was sending that, the buddy who I was on the bike ride with texted me and another friend and said, just like sent a picture that he took of me saving the deer and wrote, "Aaron saved a deer and then a cop shot it in the head." And I was like, oh. And so now that SAB is part about who I want myself to be and thought of. And it's part like how we tell stories and I started to tell this story to a class. And then as I got like halfway through it, I could just see on my Zoom class that like none of them wanted to hear that something bad was going to happen to the deer. And I just like stopped myself. And I was like, so then I got the deer unhooked. And I just saw them all like ready to like tear up. And I was just like, and now I'm writing an essay about it. So yeah, that's the longer answer than yes or no, but.
See, I knew that question was going to go somewhere. I'm glad I asked. Next question, Nina, I'll ask it to you first. How do you write dialogue from a conversation that happened years ago?
Well, I think like Aaron said, you know, if there's something you can't remember, there's different ways to handle it. Either you talk about, you know, you essay about that you can't remember it and that becomes part of the narrative and part of the questioning and blah, blah, blah. Or you just, that part doesn't matter. I mean, if it's really something that, if it's a conversation that really matters, there's probably something you remember from it, right? Like you remember that your mom said no, or you remember the biting thing that your mom said, right? That's the thing that sticks with you, the thing she told you about how you looked. But what's around that, I mean, it doesn't really matter. Personal essay writing is so much about like, you know, deciding what you don't put in, even as much as it is about deciding what you do put in. So I feel like ultimately it's kind of a gift. You don't remember everything that ever was said.
Mm-hmm. Aaron, anything to add about dialogue?
I think dialogue is the one thing that I feel okay making up in an essay. And I feel like it's just like understood that obviously I don't have a recording of this conversation I had with my dad when I was 12, but I know well enough the emotional truth of that conversation. And I know the one word that he said, either because he always said it or because it especially stung. And I feel like I can usually get it right enough that I feel more comfortable being like, this is pretty close to probably the conversation that happened.
Mm-hmm. Next question, Aaron, let's start with you on this one. Does a personal essay have to have a solution or answer to a particular question?
So I wonder what Nina's answer will be. I guess sort of the moment you say has to, then the answer is no. But like, should it? I think yes. Although I teach my students that the essay should arrive at an answer. But we talk a lot about, I think we can think that the essay having an answer means that we have to have answered our life because the essay is about our life. And those are two separate things, right? Like, why was I so embarrassed when this thing happened to me? I think the essay needs to have arrived at some kind of answer for why you were so embarrassed. I don't I think that's different from having an answer to like, oh, I figured out my own embarrassment and now I'm, and now I become, right? It's like, oh, if that happened again tomorrow, I would be just as embarrassed. But I have that kind of deeper understanding of the question of the answer is my thought.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I think another way of thinking about it, or at least for me, is that it's not really so much like an answer to a question or an answer or solution, but more like there definitely needs to be movement. So like there has to be like a beginning, a middle, and an end. And that could be, I mean, that's an infinite possibility of what that could look like, subtle or dramatic. But there has to be some journey, even if it's a, you know, a one sentence essay or something where there's a shift in how the reader sees the world or how the writer sees something and affects, and thus affects the way the reader sees something, that has to take place. There has to be some shift. And I think for me, that's, if it's done well, that's satisfying enough. I don't need them to be like, and then, you know, in the end, blah, 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 right? It's like, it's more about, ooh, there's like some kaleidoscope shift happening that creates a memorable, a piece of personal writing that's memorable to other people.
Mm-hmm. Next question, Nina, we'll start with you. Actually, there's a few questions about this, so I'm going to do my best to just paraphrase them all into one. Where do you look for where you're going to send personal essays? How do you go about finding places to send them to?
I think like it's another process of work, right? You have to read where essays are published that you like or that sort of ring true with the kind of stuff you do or you're working on. You know, how long is it? What's the voice like? What kind of stuff do they publish? You know, I would never just send things willy-nilly to random magazines or blogs, right? I would really like read what they publish and think about how my work would fit in there or not. I think that's really, you know, the advice there.
Mm-hmm. Aaron, how about you?
Yeah, I would echo that. I would say I also peeked at the questions, and I feel like there were a couple questions about length. And I think just connecting the two, I don't think there's a right length. It sort of depends on the essay that you're working on. But like what length that ends up probably might depend on where you would send it. I mean, in the last year, I've published essays that were like 300 words, 1,000, 3,000, 5,000. And it was kind of different kinds of essays, and I'm sending them to different places. I think one of the things that I found super helpful early on, and that I still do, is I'll just find a writer or two or three that I like and follow them around, right? And so it's often an initial process of, I don't know, going out and reading a couple essays by me or by Josh or by Nina or whatever, or and then being like, oh, I really like this, scrolling down, looking at their bio, being like, oh, Nina has also published in these other places, either in her bio or on her website. And then you're just kind of like collecting a list of places, like, oh, I know my writing is kind of like author X, and I kind of want my work to a little bit be in conversation with theirs or feel like theirs, or I would be honored to be published in the same places as they are. And so then I'm just looking around and being like, oh, so-and-so was on Catapult and the Smart Set and the Rumpus. I'm going to send essays to Catapult, Smart Set, and Rumpus and Hobart or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Next question, I think we'll start, Nina, we'll start with you on this one. In regards to the make it better, I'd love to hear your thoughts on if it's possible to overwork an essay, and at what point does that happen, and how do you recognize that you're overworking an essay?
Sure. I'm sure it's possible to overwork an essay. I think one thing that can be, I don't know, I'm just speaking from personal experience, too much feedback from too many different people can hurt you, can make you feel like, oh, I have to do all these things, or I have to, you know, listen to all these people. But I don't know. I mean, if you feel like you've done all you could do on it, put it away for like a few days, come back to it and read it out loud and and see how you feel then. I don't know. I feel like my problem is I just don't want to work hard enough, so I really don't have this overwork problem. Yeah.
Aaron, what about you?
I'm similar. I'm lazy. I'm much more underworking. Something is my problem. But sure, it's possible. I think, you know, you put it away, come back to it. You read it aloud and see what it feels and sounds like. You sort of, you know, put it away long enough to work on a totally different essay and then come back to it. I think it's possible, although I think happens less than people maybe worry. I mean, it definitely happens, but I think,
So before I get too far into these questions, I do want to ask, because we always want to hear from recommendations. So Nina, are there any personal essays that you feel like people should read? They just have to read it. Like, this is a really good personal essay. If you can't think of any off the top of your head, you can send me some after the show and I can send them to people.
But I can send you some after, but I always think of, there's two book length essays that, and not book length, rather they're essays that are, they are books that are essay length, or they're essays that are bound. And they have so much to teach me. They've taught me so much about writing. One is Mark Doty's Still Life with Oysters and Lemon, or Oyster and Lemon. It's incredible. It's probably 50 pages or less. It's bound. I'm not really going to say more about it, but I really recommend that. And then T. Fleischman's book, which is an essay, a long essay bound, Syzygy Beauty. Highly recommend that if you're thinking about more maybe like experimental personal essay.
Aaron, what about you?
Yeah, I think, you know, I can send this to you. The Tim Creator essay I think about a lot, and really like to teach. And then there's a bunch of stuff just on Hobart that I return to. I have a whole collection of kind of ones that most jump out or that stick with me. But there was one... there was a series, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago, a few series actually. One was Games of My Youth. One was Bourbon Reviews. And one was Great Moments in Cinematic Drinking, that all had this hook of like, oh, I'm reviewing a bottle of bourbon. Oh, I'm thinking about this video game that I played in my youth. Oh, I'm writing about a movie that includes a scene where characters sit around and drink. And then they all kind of use that to then get into some element of themselves, right? Like, oh, this bourbon reminds me of my grandfather and, you know, what it meant that my mom stopped talking to him or whatever. I return to a bunch of those a lot. I like them a lot. Mm-hmm.
So last question, parting advice to people that want to write personal essays. If you could give them one piece of advice, what would it be? Nina, let's start with you.
What? Can Aaron go first?
If Aaron's ready, Aaron can go first.
I think, I mean, I guess my advice is just to write and to like push yourself to like let yourself find where it goes. I think one of the things that I encourage the most with my students is the importance of some kind of surprise, which I feel like I may be over encouraged to the point where they're like, oh no, this piece has to surprise me. And it feels almost like an impossible challenge. Mm-hmm. But I feel like striving for that moment of like, oh, I didn't know writing about chainsawing was gonna take me to the place of writing about what I think it works to be a man, what it means to be a man in work, or what it means to watch other people work, or sort of like that surprise of like, oh, I'm writing about, you know, this deer, and I didn't know that I was gonna sort of think about who I was as a person and that I want to be liked and I want to be admired as somebody who would do this. I guess sort of coming back to my favorite kinds of essays as both an editor and a writer are these pop culture personal essays. And I feel like they help get at this vulnerability thing almost sneakily. You almost trick yourself into like, oh, I'm just writing about this Notorious B.I.G. album that I love. And then that makes me remember about how my buddy gave it to me when I was 14. And that reminds me of this fight that we had. And it reminds me about like how like he called me out on my shit or whatever. And now I'm writing about sort of like this emotional moment. And I feel like I'm surprised how often we can kind of trick ourselves into getting somewhere vulnerable through something. Mm-hmm. So I often encourage, you know, take that movie or an album or a piece of art and start writing about it, and then let it take you to the thing in your life that it makes you think about.
Mm-hmm. That's so true. Yeah, definitely starting with like something concrete is so useful. And so I saw somebody, I just peeked at the questions too, and somebody was like, you know, there's nothing happening, I'm not experiencing anything right now, I'm stuck at home, blah blah blah. You know, what is, just talk about this mug, like describe it. It has a llama on it. I remember where I got it. It was given to me by a girl who I was sleeping with at the time, and now she's my best friend. And like, there's a whole story in there, but maybe that's not your thing. But you know, like the other day I was talking to we just got a puppy. My partner and I just got a puppy, and we just talk about her shit all the time now. It's like, did she go to the vet? Did she do? And I'm like fascinated by this. Like, what are we talking about when we talk about this? Like, what is going on? So I think there's something there, but you know, it's nothing. Who cares? It's like everyone's dog poops, right? But there's something there. And I think this comes back to you trusting that you have an authentic voice and you have whatever your point of view is, it's going to be unique. And I think also this element of like, compassion for yourself and for other people and for other things. And I think like coming back to that and like just sort of being quiet with how you feel about something or what you think about something and having compassion for it can really help you write, honestly.
Yeah. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Again, this has been another episode of Inside Writing. We are presented by Gotham Writers. You can visit us at gothamwriters.com. And if you missed any of the show, we will be emailing out links as well as links that Aaron and Nina mentioned in an email tomorrow or maybe the next day since tomorrow's Thanksgiving. But Nina, Aaron, thank you both so much for being here today. This was awesome.
Thank you.
And thanks so much for having us, Josh.
Absolutely. Have a great Thanksgiving, everyone, and we'll see you next week. Next week, we got Flash Fiction. We'll be inside Flash Fiction. So we'll see you then, and have a wonderful holiday. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.